Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast where we're in a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, what's new? How are you?
I much the same. Things yes. continue apace. We were just talking about going to a film festival last year, and somebody who a South Korean filmmaker was asked, "Well, so how did you fund this?" And she had to go, "I'm sorry, our government gives us money. I forgot I'm in America. How did I do this? I wouldn't have been able to do it because without." A value placed on the yes. arts for me to make something important for people to feel alive and like this is all worth something.
Yes.
And we live here. And
we live here.
Like, I'm grateful for other countries that do that. I know we have, I'm not saying like there's no one in the government who cares, just sort of like that is.
It's not a priority at all and it erodes more and more every year. And we don't care about art, we don't care about. Creating new things that are valuable, even if they aren't valuable to every single yeah. person in a way that they, make back money or something like that.
But. Yeah. And I think it's like, I'm sure I've talked this before, but I remember when I first came out, I was really looking for, specifically for like lesbian stand-ups that I really like, because I was interested in like, queer stand-up. And I'm like, I would say with like the lesbians and gay people I saw, and trans people too, but it's like, all bad. And I was like, why is this so bad? Why do I hate this so much? And then it wasn't until I was queer for a longer amount of time. I'm like, oh, because this is for straight audiences. Yeah. I'm seeing that. Yes. I'm holding them to the, like, I want you to talk about my experience, which is also absurd. But like, you know, me have I want your take on what the fuck is going on and what we're dealing yeah. with. And it's like, oh no, that's not, you have to get paid. This is your job. You have to get, mm-hmm. you know, go to casinos. So it's like your version of like what a lesbian is or like what a bisexual. It's like, it is the most flat, palatable, people are drunk laughing at chicken fingers.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I do think you could still push the envelope a little bit or push things
absolutely,
forward.
But
I was holding them to a standard of like, no, their depiction of their own queerness is also mitigated by capitalism because we all need to get paid. And right. it was understanding that it's like, oh, right, everything is affected. That's, I'm sure, you know, true of every minority group of like, well, it'd be nice to see something that had all the bad stuff too, because like that's it's imbued in it. And I love pride, but we also need wrath. You know, like we also need
yes.
sadness. I don't, that's not mm-hmm. one of them, but
right.
So anyway, I don't know. But there's something where it's like, yeah, if the goal is to get as many people as possible to give you money, then there are certain stories that are not going to be prioritized. And then art becomes dead. Then it's just like, okay, so we're just seeing, you know, again, another Marvel movie. I don't know.
Another Marvel movie.
How are you doing?
It's terrible. I've been very proud that I've been, like eating all the food I buy recently.
That's good. Yeah.
Like finishing things, like which as when you live alone and mostly eat, like cook and plan and shop for one, like it's not even like I feel like I'm so, it's just like it is a skill to like know how to do it without wasting a lot of food and money. So
yeah.
I feel like I had like a couple good weeks where I was like, you have this stuff, mm-hmm. eat it. And also, mm-hmm. like, we're getting, you know, in New York, like, it's fucking freezing this week for some reason because it's winter again. But it is getting to the time of year where it's warm enough that I'm craving a salad more than just being like, I should have a salad. Like, I'm like, oh, I kind of want, like, a big, crunchy, like, not hot thing.
Which sounds delicious. I've been trying to do something similar where I'm trying to have, like, frozen protein in my house because I, like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't
protein's
buy
the hardest
chicken,
thing for
you
me.
Know, you know. Yeah. But then, of course, I bought it, and then I come home, and I have failed to shut my freezer. Not that I had a ton of stuff, but then
no.
I had everything I had bought, I had to throw away. And I'm like, well, best laid plans.
Yeah, that's a tough
yeah,
one.
I feel you. Especially living alone, it's like I always have these aspirations to cook. It's like I know I'm just gonna put a piece of salmon in the air fryer. I don't know who I'm lying to at this point.
Yeah, but it's like I get so bored. I'm like not somebody who's like great at eating leftovers. So like I tend to be like, okay, it's either got to be like a soup that I could like eat for like the first day and the second day, but I could freeze the rest.
Yeah.
But, like, otherwise it's, like, I want, like, different veggies. I want, like, different, like, salad-y stuff. And it's just, like, it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And, like, also, like, when push comes to shove, I'm not cooking different stuff every night.
I will say the one ace I have in my hand is that I could eat the same food for 3 weeks straight. It won't bother me. So,
yeah. I can do that for, like, breakfast, but for lunch and dinner, I cannot.
Well, speaking of people who have limited meal options, this is, of course, a continuation of perhaps our finest theme, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. And the movie we are doing, finally, off-requested, is A Quiet Place.
Yes, finally.
Starring John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. And I'm, of course, pulling up the Oracle of Kevin Bacon again.
I would like to try and guess.
Yes, yeah.
At least... because I feel like you could go from John Krasinski or Emily Blunt and get to Kevin Bacon.
Okay, I feel like you maybe could do, probably not, let's do Emily Blunt.
Because, like, Emily Blunt was just in Oppenheimer, which has every man ever. Mm-hmm. So it's like she was in Oppenheimer and so was, like, Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like somebody who could then, like, has been in something. The issue for me with this is I actually don't know Kevin Bacon's filmography very well.
And the reason it works is because he has been in so many things.
So many
things. Including most things that we've never heard of.
Right.
Because the man worked. This guy was working. And I can't attest to the quality of these films.
No.
But when he started, that he's like, I am booking. He stayed book and busy for decades.
Yeah.
So stuff that, again, that we would never know about. You know, and that's before he became like an actual star even. But then he's constantly doing stuff that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Or like... you know, a 2009 movie called My One and Only. Never heard of that. Renee Zellweger, Kevin Bacon. You could put a gun to my head and I would say that you made that up. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm going to guess. But, wait, Emily Blunt to Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. was in Iron Man with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay,
who was
great.
Was Ben Affleck in Shakespeare in Love, or am I like fully making that? No, that was someone definitely different.
Hang on, but I bet that they have been.
Because I'm trying to get to Casey Affleck. He was. Was Ben Affleck. I thought so.
They're in Bounce. Ben Affleck and Gwyneth Paltrow are in Bounce together.
They're in Bounce. And so then they were in that. Ben and Casey were in Goodwill. Like, isn't Casey in Goodwill Hunting?
I believe so.
Ben and Casey were in Good Will Hunting, and Casey and Kevin Bacon were in Mystic River.
Wow, Allison, you did
it. There's probably a shorter path, but yeah.
Well, here's what the Oracle said, which is Emily Blunt to Sicario to Josh Brolin to Hollow Man, and Kevin Bacon was in Hollow Man. We'll have to do Hollow Man before the end of the...
Oh, yeah.
His Invisible Man movie.
Yes, okay.
But I think... the question is not how many. I think it's just like the fact you did it at all is really an achievement, Allison. I give it up
good
to
for
you.
Me.
Great work.
Yeah.
But yes, we are doing A Quiet Place.
At last.
Off-requested. I know. You know what? I'll be absolutely honest. I didn't love this movie when it came out. But people, I think there is a part of myself. I was thinking recently, because I was talking about The Matrix. I hated The Matrix, not out of any aesthetic or cinematic problem, but that because everyone else loved it. And so I was like, I have to reject this. My brothers loved it. I don't talk to me about it. You know?
I tend to have those feelings about popular, very Elaine on Seinfeld hating The English Patient because everyone else loves it and then enjoying the comedy Sack Lunch.
I feel like I am someone that doesn't watch the best pictures. I watch it like now I'm watching the best pictures because I don't like competition and I don't want to compare movies and I don't believe in
it. Well, I don't
that creates a resistance. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Exactly. And it creates also just like, I don't know, it's always going to be rooted in like, you know, some kind of like patriarchal white supremacy.
Yeah, and money, obviously. Yes. Like, you could run the campaign.
Of course.
Like,
and movies spend an absolute fuck ton of money to win awards, and seems unfair.
Yeah. But it's even more unfair is the scenario that our characters find them in the movie A Quiet Place. which of course was sort of, I think, John Krasinski, how he sort of broke into his next stage of his career. Remember he also had like a little, during the pandemic, he would do like a web show, like a web late night show.
Oh, yeah.
And then he sold it to NBC and then he never did it again.
Yeah. He just seems like so many of us.
Yeah, and so he directed this movie. It's written by Scott Beck and Brian Woods and Krasinski. And we always like to have Allison watch the trailer for the film. Allison, what are your thoughts about the trailer for A Quiet Place?
I mean, I had seen the trailer. Like, this is one that I, like, know a little bit about because it's recent and popular. I mean, I don't like it. Like, the quiet.
How do you think you do?
Terrible. I can't, I make noise standing up from a chair. Like, I'm just not, like, there's no part of me, like just, like, involuntary noises are their own. I started the last episode just, like, hack coughing out of nowhere, trying to be quiet.
Yes.
And also, like, I can't stop talking.
Yeah.
Now, I went to an elementary school that was kind of, like, a feeder or, like, a central school in the area for deaf students all around the county. So like people came in from like Baltimore and people, so we all had to learn American Sign Language all throughout elementary school. And in elementary school, I like very much could communicate through American Sign Language.
Wow.
But it's like totally gone now. I know like a few things that like, I'm just like, what is your, like there is like, there's some stuff and like, I still know the alphabet and stuff, but like I can't communicate effectively that way. But I feel like I could like, get back in the groove and hang in that capacity.
Yeah,
but I still couldn't
stop
talking.
It seems like
that
you should like maybe look. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do your life, but like that seems like, I wonder if you went to a couple classes and sort of refreshed it. Like maybe it's still in there.
I would like to brush up on my American Sign Language. I feel like that's just like a good skill to have in case of emergency. Like whether it's, you know, aliens trying to kill your family or just like, you know, living in a city among people who might communicate through American Sign Language.
Yeah, either way, it seems like a big thumbs up. And just a little bit about this movie. There's a deaf character played by the actress Millicent Simmons, who is herself deaf, and all the cast had to learn sign language. Those were their lines, basically. Like there are a few spoken lines in this, but for the most part, it is sign language. So obviously, had to teach everyone that. And I thought that was really interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
They did that on an episode of The Last of Us as well. There was a deaf child. I was just, like, very cool. I watched the, like, behind the episode and then just, like, sobbed forever about him being, like, really excited to get to be in a movie. He's, like, six. Yeah. So cute.
And I think a great example of, like, you know, and obviously we talk about this with all different minorities, but especially disability, like, hiring hiring disabled writers, and then when you are writing to have disabled characters in it, and then once you, if you hire a disabled performer, then it can inform the performance and like make everything more realistic. So I shout out to John Krasinski. I think that was, you know, I really appreciate that. And she does a great job at it. It does bring us to our baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of being a tween living with your family at the end of the world?
Ugh. I mean, that seems like, because especially like as a tween in normal times, like, you are getting away from your family sometimes.
Yes.
You are getting the break. You're going to school. You're meeting your friends after school to go to the mall. You're playing sports. You're doing what you have, your little hobbies. You're running around outside. Like, you have a break. But, like, in this scenario, it seems like, boy, you're all just, like, kind of locked up together.
Right. Like, at least when you have friends, you can complain about your parents, you know.
Right.
And also, in real most life, you could complain out loud, where this is a lot of, you know, you're stifled in a lot of different areas, and you're already stifled when you're a tween in regular life.
Yes.
So watching this, I was very empathetic in watching this character then also make some dumb tween decisions. But of course you would, just because there's
tweens are gonna
monstrous
tween.
Spider beings doesn't mean, yeah, exactly. You're a tween regardless. And then finally, would you like to guess the twist in A Quiet Place?
Guess the twist.
Is there a twist?
You know, I don't think so, but I would say, guess, how do you think that they fight the spider alien creatures?
Oh, They're spidery? Okay.
That's the best way. I mean, they're also kind of ape-like, but they have like very long... Sorry, my mouthful's saliva. I'm salivating.
You're hungry?
I'm going to just chomp right into them. To me, they feel arachnid-like.
Okay. I'm going to guess that what they use... Maybe it's water?
Okay, great. Perfect.
Like water is something that they... that, you know... melts them or something, or like poisons them.
You're a very great guess. You're getting better at this every passing week. So let's begin ruining A Quiet Place. Allison, we open on the screen day 89.
Oh God.
We find ourselves in downtown of a sleepy little town in upstate New York where the apocalypse has come. There are leaves on the ground. There are upturned traffic lights. We see in the front of the pharmacy there are missing posters sort of blanketing the front of the pharmacy.
Okay.
Dozens of them. Dozens of people missing.
Ideal.
From a town that is obviously pretty small. And like I think Albany, outside Albany. You know what I mean? Like not even Hudson Valley. We're talking like up there, right? And we see inside the pharmacy, of course, windows and doors smashed in, leaves on the ground. And we see a little boy named Bo, scampering around barefoot. Everyone we see in this movie is barefoot, but of course that is the quietest way to walk.
I wouldn't even like that part of this.
Oh, no. And they're all bundled up. Like, they have, like, coats and sweaters and bare feet.
Ugh. Ugh. Put some socks on.
I would not go on Survivor, and I would not go survive this.
No.
Every part of this would be untenable to me.
Untenable.
We see a tween girl, Reagan. She's also looking in the aisles. We see she has a cochlear implant. She is deaf. We see another boy, her brother, who, around 10, sort of brooding in the aisles. That's Marcus, and he is unwell. So he's sort of like slumped over, not doing really well.
Like physically unwell?
Physically unwell. Okay. Just temporarily. It seems like it's a flu or something, but that's why they came to town to look through the pharmacy to look for medication. Finally, we see their mother, Emily Blunt, known as Evelyn in the film, but in my mind, it is Emily Blunt every time I see her.
Yeah, she'll always be Emily Blunt. Even like, and I find her to be kind of chameleon and like I find like she can take on like she doesn't always look the same, but I'm like, but she's always Emily Blunt.
Yes, I absolutely I feel that way about like Cate Blanchett too.
Yes,
excellent actor the whole time. Like, well, that's Cate Blanchett. Also,
Cate Blanchett.
And I don't want to be this person, but Emily Blunt has never looked better. She looks so good at this, and I don't know whether it's like she just isn't glammed up, like she's just like, you know, in mom gear or something. But I was like, Emily Blunt, you're killing it. She's methodically going through the medications, seeing what they have. Finally, find something, probably an antibiotic, to try to give their son. Gives the pills to Marcus and hands him water from a water bottle. No one is speaking. And when they start communicating, we see that they are all using sign language. And I think the implication is because they had a child who was deaf, they all were learning sign language anyway.
Anyway, yes.
So they have been able to survive because they had that skill. So to your point, Allison, if you were to brush up, then you have it, then you're ready to go if something like this does happen.
If this happens, which it probably will.
Reagan's kind of nervous, so she approaches her mother. And so also when I say they said, unless I specify, they're signing. Yeah.
Okay.
And so Reagan approaches Evelyn and Marcus, and her mother says, you know, he's okay. Reagan finds Bo is drawing in chalk on the ground of the pharmacy, and he signs to her, "This is how we'll get away." And Reagan smiles at it, but you see like her eyes start to tear up, and we see that he's drawn a spaceship. So I think he's like, "Well, we'll escape. We'll get on a spaceship."
And it's like, "Oh, that's not happening."
No. But she smiles and is kind of like plays along. Their dad, John Krasinski, his name is Lee. He returns. He's got a bunch of electronics that he's found in another store. He's got a camera, and Reagan hands him sort of like an electrical board from inside of a computer that she found somewhere. And he says, signs like, "Oh, we could use this to boost the signal." And in return, Lee gives Reagan a pair of pliers. And the implication is like they tinker together. She's sort of his like mentee.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's sort of teaching her, and they're obviously trying to build something to communicate during this catastrophic thing that has happened to the planet, which we'll find out more in a little bit. They all turn around as Bo walks up to the group, and they all have a look of horror. And we see Lee nervously grab something out of Bo's hand and it is a toy spaceship, and he very deftly takes out the batteries so that it doesn't make any sound.
Okay.
And so he hands it back to his very sad son, now that it can't make any noise. But yeah. Obviously, had it made noise, it would have called something to them or alerted something.
Yes.
So thank God, caught it just in time. Done with their trip to town, they all start to head out. And we see not only are they barefoot, but they have laid out sand, like a path of sand through town back to their farm.
Okay.
So wherever they need to go, they lay out sand again to try to walk as quiet as quietly. Possible. Very clever. Again, I would have been immediately killed
the day this
happened. No. Yes.
No. It's like, one, I can't keep my mouth shut, but two, I can't like think ahead about like, I would
I'd be
clanging around in the kitchen. Like, it's just too hard.
There's no before, there's no after. It would just be panic the entire time.
Nonstop.
Unfortunately, as they walk out of the store, Reagan feels bad for Bo, so she hands him the spaceship and sort of shushes him. But of course, she turns, doesn't see that he pockets the batteries. And he's like four. So like, he's not thinking, oh, this is dangerous. He's thinking, oh, I'll use these batteries and they won't know, you know?
Yeah.
So he puts the batteries in his coat and then they're all walking single file.
It's also a tough, like, catastrophe to deal with because, like, children already, it's like, be quiet. And they're like, I don't want to. Like, it's like, it is an extension of just, like, a rule they don't like as opposed to, like, an obvious physical threat.
Right. Like, my brain isn't developed. So it's like, don't make sound. It's like, okay, but, like, I will.
I want to.
Yeah. So they all walk carefully, single file. Lee is in the front carrying Marcus because Marcus is that unwell. And we see Lee and Marcus up front, Evelyn, Reagan, and Bo leading up the back. And I don't want to be like this. Do not let the little one be in the back. If you're ever walking, there has to be someone behind the youngest person.
Right. Yeah. You can't, like, sandwich the kids in the middle.
Yes, exactly. Like, and again, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but never let the baby bring up the rear. And you can quote me on that. Allison, they walk across a bridge and we cut to Reagan and we have moments where we cut to her in silence and we realize that her hearing aid isn't on. And so I wasn't sure if that was because you couldn't charge it or if the hearing aid had broken and you can't fix it because
you need someone with that skill set. You couldn't even tell somebody it needs to get fixed.
Yeah. But whatever, we cut to her and it'll be total silence. And so obviously they can communicate with her, but she cannot hear like ambient sound. So there are moments, obviously, they play with that where she's aware of something and other people aren't, or other people are aware and she's not.
And she's not.
So unfortunately, we have this moment where she's in silence and her parents turn around with a look of horror. And so she turns around and we see that Bo has put the batteries back in the spaceship.
Who gave him the batteries?
Well, Lee just put them down on the counter.
And he just picked them up again.
Picked them up, yeah. So I think he's like four, so he's like old enough to know what batteries are and old enough to be like, well, that was in the, I could put together what's going on, but not ergo what's about to happen to me.
Right.
Allison, I have bad news.
Oh, yeah.
They all turn around and Lee tries to run to him, but before he can get there, a gigantic spider-like alien explodes out of the woods and snatches Bo up to his doom. Day 472, Allison.
Okay, so more than a year later.
Yes. And so that means it's been over a year and a half, basically, until since this has begun.
Okay.
We see Reagan is sort of laying in the sand path in the cornfield, and she jerks awake, sort of realizing she's dozing off outside. And I think that there's just, like, this concern at all times, like, where you're at.
Yeah.
Even if it seems like you're safe, you don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And again, she's in silence. She can't hear anything. Her mom walks by with a basket, and she joins her to, like, go help do chores. Excuse me. They're basically in their barn, in the basement of the barn, which they is a storehouse, or like a storeroom for like preserves and stuff.
Okay.
So they're there because that is the safest place. So they're able to put themselves down there and sort of not be visible or be less obtrusive versus living in the house. But in the basement of the house, Lee has sort of a think tank with like all of his electronics where he's trying to figure out like how to keep us safe, right?
Yes.
And so he has some things like they clearly have a generator because they have security cameras that he's put together. And they're all DIY. So like he has security cameras around the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he pours over all these newspapers with headlines like National Guard, emergency evacuation. They can hear you. Hundreds dead in Shanghai.
Oh, God.
It's sound. Stay silent. Stay alive. And then finally, get underground, which is why... You know, their sleeping quarters and their living spaces, like, underground.
Yeah.
He finds his notebook and he stands in front of a whiteboard that did become kind of a meme because the whiteboard is like very day one. Like the things you would write down versus like it's been over a year. I'm sure you've come to some other conclusions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it says creatures and underneath it says blind, attack, armor, question mark. How many in area? Confirmed 3. So we know there are 3 gigantic spider aliens in the area.
Okay.
Survive, medical supplies, soundproofing. And then finally, what is their weakness? And again, these are good things to think about, but I just feel like you would have erased the whiteboard.
You would have used the whiteboard for a lot more current information.
Yeah. We see Lee go to his shortwave radio, and he basically is like trying to communicate with different countries specifically just to see like how far this is spread. And he keeps trying to call. I guess there's a way to like call like a country-specific number that like takes you into their shortwave. So he keeps crossing it out. Needless to say, none of these countries are calling him back. Like it seems like they are among some of the last survivors. Outside, we see Marcus pretending to drive a truck that lies like unused in the field, probably because they don't have gas or it's broken and they can't fix it. And we see Marcus go down into the basement of the barn, which is where their living quarters are. They have a storeroom, and Allison, they are setting up a crib. And we see Evelyn hang a handmade mobile, and she is 9 months pregnant.
No.
We need to talk this through, because I understand, look, what are you going to never have sex again?
Right. It's like, you do need to, but it's like,
it doesn't seem worth the risk. Pull out, have other kinds of sex. Like,
right. Just like, stick to oral until you, like.
But I look, hey.
I don't know.
You know. But then also, I do think I took, having seen it multiple times at this point, I was like, you know, I think that they intentionally got pregnant because there's no way for them to process the death of their son.
No, especially if you can't even talk about it.
No, exactly. And there's no one else around. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So it's like,
we have to just push this family forward.
Yeah. So in that way, I'm like, okay, I'm sympathetic.
I get it.
Up in the grain silo, as evening falls, Lee looks out over the hills. And again, the lights come on. So it's linked to a generator. So they do have light. And it's sort of these like Christmas lights around the farm just to like provide illumination. And he's looking at photos of Bo, like when he was a baby. But I took the shortwave radio thing to be like, wow, no one else is alive. But then he lights a fire on a silo. And you could see multiple fires, like other people lighting them back in the hills. Okay. So I kind of wanted them to make a decision on that. Like either they're completely cut off or there's other people. And then you imagine you'd eventually go over there and like exchange goods or something.
Something. Especially in a scenario where like there is such an obvious common enemy as opposed to like kind of other apocalyptic scenarios where it's like, well, we don't know if they've been bit by the zombies yet or not.
That's
like
a good
it
point.
Is like,
yeah,
we're just trying to stay a lot. Like, you're not like low key a spider alien.
Yeah, and so that I think maybe it was just a decision of what they wanted the plot and the movie to be about. But I'm saying this guy's going over there. This guy knows everybody.
Yeah.
In my mind, they'd have a whole alphabet of like fire and smoke, or you mean like they
have
set up more communication, knowing there are people that close by. But again. Not my movie, not my monkey, not my cervicus, not my spider alien, not my movie. Down in the living quarters, Marcus and Reagan are helping put layers of newspaper on the walls and sort of like a Mod Podge type of thing to create soundproofing because babies do cry, like you said, especially like a 4-year-old baby could control himself in some situations. Babies, you know, they're just a little, they're like a puppy. We see that Evelyn must have been a medical professional. Again, you don't find out anything about them other than they do have this farm, but she is essentially her own OBGYN like neonatal ward. So she has a wooden box she has an oxygen tank with a little baby mask that I'm assuming she modified from an oxygen mask.
Yeah.
And ostensibly so they can create a soundproof box for when perhaps some of the aliens show up.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, like it's well put together, but also, like, if I did that, the alien would eat the baby. Like, there's no, you know, way I would. But they have it prepared for when she gives birth. Evelyn makes some delicious-looking fish that they caught in the stream.
Ugh, I love a good fish dish.
And it's like you're eating fresh bread. Like, she serves it on, like, a kale leaf. It does look really nice.
Yeah, they must be so healthy.
And they do look great, I will say that. And she sort of nods at Reagan. And this is where we see, you know, at the beginning, Reagan and her dad were, like, so close and seemed very similar. And now there is this thing between them. And the implication is that his resentment, which isn't fair, but is resentment over the death of Bo on some level. So she doesn't even want to go get her dad for dinner, but she goes to get them. And I do think that's insane. It's like, obviously she didn't like give him the batteries. And two, she's a kid. Like she herself is a child. Obviously
she's a child.
If she'd been thinking, she would have would have thrown the batteries away or something. But they all go to dinner and they hold hands and pray. And I assume the prayer is, dear God, please take the homicidal alien monsters you sent to Earth back because they've killed everybody. Amen. Later, they play Monopoly, and I will say this right now, I would rather be decapitated by an alien than ever play that game again.
No,
If a kid wants to, that's fine. But no adult. Don't ever come to me with that kind of thing.
I don't want to play a game where I'm just paying rent.
No. Fuck that.
That sucks. I'm not playing Landlord. That's not
let's
fun.
Let's play Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Let's play Uno.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Allison, they're playing, and as they're playing, Reagan knocks over a lantern, like an oil lantern. Not only does it smash on the ground and cause a huge shattering sound, but it lights the rug on fire.
Yeah.
Lee springs into action. He's able to put it out, but now they all freeze. You know, they have sort of the door over them. But they hear the birds start taking off from the cornfield as something starts to approach the house. Mm. And we hear a loud crash upstairs. And Lee, there's like a little window that Lee's trying to peer out at ground level.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hear a screech. Allison, it's not the aliens. It's just some big fat raccoons.
Oh, that's fun.
And I do, well, I'll say this at the end, but like, I do feel like, I complain about movies with kids in it. I feel like this one is okay.
Yeah.
Because it's about the family.
Yes. I think that like is an exception.
Yes. It's about sustaining and working on your family and about their dynamics. So then I'm like, okay, I will watch a child be endangered because I feel like you've in some way earned it. We also see as the raccoons make their way to the cornfield, something in the corn just snatches one of them up and eats it. Spoiler alert, it is the alien. In the evening, Evelyn goes into Lee's think tank in the basement of the house and entreats him to dance with her. And she has her headphones in and she takes one of the headphones and puts it in his ear. Mm. And they're sort of swaying to Neil Young. And it's generally very sweet. Like they obviously are very sweet together. And again, Emily Blunt looking fine as fuck in this movie. I don't know where I'm at. I was like, damn. Like, I guess I've never seen Emily Blunt before.
Yeah.
Day 473.
Okay.
We see it's October 3rd. And again, Evelyn must be a doctor because she's like taking her own blood pressure. And we see her due date is October 23rd. So we're on the home stretch. Okay. Right? That does seem a little precise for the end of the world, but that's fine. I'll allow it. She also uses a stethoscope to check the fetal heartbeat. Everything seems good. She's healthy. The only problem, of course, the tremendous human-devouring spider monsters from another dang planet.
As if pregnancy isn't hard enough.
We see Reagan goes into the house, which she's not allowed to go in. And we see that in the house, they've put little patches of green paint where you could walk on the floorboards that it won't creak.
That don't
creep. Very, very smart. I wouldn't think to do that.
Nope, not at all.
And we see her about to go down into her dad's electronics room. And he grabs her and he hauls her out. And he says, you're not allowed to go down there. And she starts to argue with him. And he's like, I'm just telling you, that's my stuff. It's just not safe. Basically, he doesn't trust her. Yeah, go ahead.
When they're signing, are there subtitles?
Yes. Sorry. I should have said that. Yeah, sorry. There are on-screen subtitles. And so they're signing. So you understand the whole time. You have to, it's a lot of reading. I know some people don't like that. It never has bothered me.
Yeah, I only don't like it when I'm half watching something.
Yes, I understand
I don't like
that.
It for like a passive watch of something I kind of don't care about. Like for like a good movie that I want to sit down and see, I don't mind if there are subtitles. But like if I'm like trying to watch a stupid show and it's like a bunch of subtitling, I'm like, well, I don't care enough about this to read.
I will say my challenge to myself for this year is to watch movies all the way through without looking at my phone that are not horror movies. Because I can do that with horror pretty well, but I'm trying to branch out a little bit. I need to see Anatomy of a Fall still. I'm trying to watch anything that's not horror.
I know. I need to see American Fiction as well.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Hopefully by the time this comes out, I'll have seen it.
Well, you better. Please report back.
I will.
But clearly, Lee does not trust his daughter, which I just think is like, I understand, but he can't go to a therapist. How's he supposed to process it, you know?
Also, like, you cannot trust her because she's like a tween girl in like a psychotic apocalyptic like scenario, but you can't not trust her because of what happened to your son. Like, that's unfair.
because that could have happened to you. You left the batteries there. Right. You afraid that you could blame yourself just as much.
You could have put them in your pocket and then wouldn't have been an issue.
So they're already fighting, and then he tries as like a, you know, olive branch. He takes something out of his pocket and he hands her a hearing aid. He's like, I think I fixed this one. I use little amplifiers from the speakers. Would you try it? She says, it won't work. None of the ones that you have fixed have worked. He's like, no, it increases the frequency, which I think she's like, it will not work. But obviously this reticence is also part of their fight. Like, they're just upset with one another. Yeah. He tries to put it in her ear and she slaps his hand away and says, stop. And clearly, again, hard to work on your family issues when there's all these spider monsters running around.
There's a lot of them.
But he puts the hearing aid in her hand, basically like, you could use it if you want to and let me know if it works, and walks away. And Reagan starts crying because obviously she doesn't want to fight with her dad. And this is all impossible. In the barn, we see Evelyn is homeschooling Marcus. And I think we're going to think that Lee and Reagan are very similar, and then Evelyn and Marcus are very similar. Like, more mild-mannered, you know. Lee gestures, comes in and says, oh, Marcus, it's time to go. Marcus says, I don't want to go do this. Evelyn signs, you'll be fine. Your father will always protect you. It's important you learn all the things that go with, like, running the farm. Plus, who's going to take care of me when I'm old and gray and I have no teeth? And she does some very funny, like, Emily Blunt faces.
Yeah.
And Marcus signs to dad, like, I don't want to go. And, of course, Reagan's like, well, I want to go. Take me. But he says to Reagan, stay with your mother. She's pregnant. She needs you to help her. You know, you need to save. You'll be safe here. But, again, she's taking it as, you don't want me to go. You don't want to be training me to, like, be your successor in the way that clearly you were last year, you know?
Right.
And also, Marcus doesn't want to go or do anything because Marcus is terrified. And I think that has to do with, like, he was sick when all this happened. So I think he just feels so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So he's like, please don't make me go and do stuff when there's aliens running around. But understandably, Lee says, you know, we got to go. We got to learn this stuff. So they head out and Reagan just, like, cries and rages. Mm-hmm. And again, he wrote, like, it's hard enough to be a teen and now there's fucking aliens.
Yeah.
And she picks up her new hearing aid and replaces the one she's wearing. When she turns it on, it crackles. But when she snaps her fingers, she can't hear anything. Allison, what would you do?
What would you do?
I mean, I'd already be dead.
Yeah, 100%. That's like, absolutely. Same here.
I definitely, like, I don't know.
No question.
I would try and just go really far away from my family and make a noise and just let them kill me because, like, I can't live like this.
It's also like, oh, great, the only people we get to hang out with are our immediate family for the rest of time.
Yeah, right. Ugh. It's like, if this is what life is, like, ugh, God,
that's
I don't know.
My cat Rachel is the silliest cat I know. One time, she played inside a paper bag for 3 hours. What a mystery. But I'm glad her health isn't. Thanks to the color-changing litter from Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter. This premium color-changing litter has pH-activated crystals that can help me detect potential illness early. That makes it easy for me to stay on top of her health and well-being. I may not understand all of Rachel's silly quirks, but I can keep up with the important things. Find Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
To your point, Allison, she packs her bag to run away.
Yeah.
We see her take her pliers, and we see her take a cloth-wrapped item from inside her dresser drawer. Meanwhile, we see where Lee was taking Marcus. They go down to the creek. So they have these traps to check for fish, and he finds a live fish, flops it onto the rocks, and Marcus panics because it makes a sound. And Lee says, no, he signs, the river creates a lot of sound. So we could actually make more sound here because of the rush of the water.
Oh, okay, because that's a constant, so it's almost like white noise.
Yes, exactly. Nice. And he says this is a very important, like, if there's big sounds are bad, little sounds you could get away with, big sounds are bad, but if there's bigger sounds, if there's other sounds, you could make a big sound, you know? So it's sort of teaching him, like, how are you going to live in this world, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we see Reagan, she's packed up, she's walked through the cornfield, and she's walking back towards town, essentially. So she's headed back towards that bridge. Meanwhile, Evelyn goes into the basement to do laundry by hand, which sucks. And the laundry is in the electronics room, right? So it's in that area. And when she hauls it back up, the laundry bag snags on a nail, but it wrenches the nail upward when she pulls the bag. So now there is a nail standing straight up on this step, which is scarier than the aliens because, one, you know that it's coming back later because of the care they took to show it to us. And also, nails are real and spider aliens are not. Knock on wood, and not.
Also, like, boy, if you get tetanus.
Oh, God.
That's it. Whew. Lights out.
Yeah, that makes me want to pass out. Yeah. But unfortunately, Evelyn doesn't see it. She goes to take the laundry away. Over the river, Lee takes Marcus behind a waterfall, and he screams. And Marcus, of course, panics. He's like, no, listen, we could talk back here because there's this deafening roar. Like, the waterfall is so loud. And so he tells Marcus, you're all right, I promise. So while they're there, it's like, well, Dad, can we cut the shit? He says, well, why didn't you let Reagan come with us? Do you blame her for what happened? And Lee says, no, of course I don't. It's like, okay, well, she blames herself for it, you know? And we see where Reagan has been going. She wasn't going to town. She's going back to the bridge where they have sort of a memorial to Bo. And it's a little cross and like a bunch of his little toys and some photos. And it's all like sun weathered. And we see his, you know, he was 4 years old when he died. And she unwraps the thing she took out of the dresser and it is the spaceship. So she's just bringing there to sort of like put it at. She's probably been the one bringing toys occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously she's devastated, does play for herself.
Right. It is her brother. Know? Like, oh.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we see Evelyn doing laundry. She's in their house. So she goes into Beau's room on the first floor. She's crying. And Lee tells, you know, Marcus at the waterfall, like, there's nothing. This wasn't anyone's fault. And Marcus says, well, you love her, right? You love Reagan. Lee says, of course. And Marcus goes, we should tell her that. Aww, like, you know, like just let her know that you don't blame her because she absolutely does. But I thought it was very, very nice and very observant as a sibling, you know. So Reagan's there at the, you know, the memorial, basically. And Marcus and Lee are headed back towards home. But the implication is, like, it's a long walk. So as they're walking, they pass what looks like an abandoned house. And when they turn the corner around it, they see an old man standing outside. And when they look down, we see his wife, who appears to have been bitten in half and eaten by the aliens.
Oh, God.
So his wife's dying body. And Lee makes eye contact with the man. And the man looks not good. And Lee shakes his head because he knows what he's about to do, and the man screams. Which, I mean, what are you going to do, right?
I mean, yeah, it's like your wife, however long you've been together, has now, like, been killed by these things. Like,
and you're alone.
That's your whole life. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And the way he screams, I took it as a suicide. I took it as he is calling the aliens. And so,
come get me. This is not worth it.
Yeah. Lee grabs Marcus. They puts his hand over his mouth, and they hide behind the trees. And an alien shows up and eviscerates the old man and eats him. Back at home, see, the thing is, like, Lee was right. Somebody did have to stay with Evelyn because while she picks up a photo of her late son, Evelyn's water breaks. Oh my so she God. Is now in labor.
Silent birth? Like, what is she, a Scientologist?
I mean, yeah, get those reps in. She's in the house. She's not in the barn, like the safe space. And, of course, she has to sit down because it's incredibly painful. Allison, she walks down the basement stairs and steps directly on the nail, and she doesn't scream. But she does drop the photo she's holding, and it shatters.
Oh.
So even though she didn't scream, she did everything she could.
Still made a noise.
She did a great job. And we have to see her pull her foot off the nail, which looks like 1,000 yards long, covered in blood, removing her foot from it. She goes over to Lee's electronic station to turn on the outside lights, and she pulls a lever, and the lights turn from, like, a regular light bulb to a red light. So I think that's her signal, like, something horrible has happened. Get back as soon as you see this.
Okay.
You know, as far, you know, because you could sort of see it, you know, it's like mountains and valleys, so hypothetically you might be able to see the farm from further away. When she goes to walk back up the stairs, Allison, she sees that there is an alien inside the house.
How large is it?
I would say it is the size of a moose.
Oh.
It's very tall, but it's kind of like
bigger, but yeah.
I would say, like, it's tall in front with, like, a lower back legs. Uh-huh. And it sort of has like praying mantis. It walks on, like, praying mantis limbs. Yeah. So, but instead of praying mantis where the limbs point up, these point down.
Okay. Yes.
And we haven't seen its head yet, but the heads are really interesting and gross, so we're going to see them in a minute.
Can't wait.
So I would say like a gray reptilian spider moose with a head that opens like a flower, like a Venus flytrap, and inside it's a beautiful, it looks like an ear. Like it's like the, it's iridescent like the inside of a shell, and it's all these coils. And I think we're to think that's why I could hear so well.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Though it is funny, and I will say watching this again, I'm like, what's funny is it actually can only hear as well as we can. Like, because right. if it could hear better, it could hear them breathing or the blood in their veins or something.
Yeah,
thank God
right,
it
right,
can't
right.
hear better. It's just right. some it's guy, basically.
It's just like,
basically.
A good, like someone with good hearing.
Yes, and thank God, because we wouldn't be able to do it otherwise.
It's indoors.
Yeah, so it is now shambling around this beautiful farmhouse, and she is in the basement. Not only did she just step on a nail, but she is in labor.
In labor.
And despite all this, she is still smart enough to find a timer, so smarter than I, so she can set the timer and forget it. But really, yeah, like set a timer and then get some distance between her and the timer and like have the alien attack that.
Oh,
or something.
Oh, I see.
Because the aliens are not sentient. It's sort of like if there was like a tiger or like a bear. Like you could sort of distract it and confuse it.
Okay, yeah.
It's not going to pick up on like a particular humanness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I do think there is something like the reason they eat fish, it seems like it would have eaten all the animals too. I guess it doesn't eat the birds, but you don't see any like livestock or dogs. And I think it would have just consumed anything it found.
Okay, yeah, that was what I was going to ask. Is like,
yeah.
I guess it ate the raccoon, but like, yeah, it doesn't eat animals, but mm-hmm. that makes sense.
I guess it just eats, yeah, flesh. So, yeah, we see the alien. It has huge venom teeth, and it sort of opens its face like in like multi-petals, revealing this fleshy inside, which is like a coiled mass of an ear. Mm-hmm. And we see it picking up on the timer, and then the timer goes off, and it's so loud that the alien, of course, freaks out and attacks the timer, giving Evelyn enough time to like hurry up the stairs. But before she can get to the front door, Allison, she sees there's another alien on the lawn. And remember, there are three in the area, so, and we're
okay,
seeing two
so
right now.
Two of the three are hanging around.
Yeah. Ostensibly because she dropped the photo and the glass shattered. So they're like, okay, great, soup's on. Meanwhile, Lee and Marcus get to like the edge of the farm, which is still incredibly far away, but they see the red lights. And they, of course, both freak out and realize something is going on.
Yeah.
And Lee signs to Marcus. He says, remember when I told you about how in order to cover up a loud sound, you have to make a louder sound. Okay, it's sort of like, I need you to do plan 58, you know, to help okay. your mother. And boy, I was like, boy, he is going to be really mad at Reagan. Now, if he wasn't mad before, Reagan did sort of bail on their very pregnant mother that,
yeah,
you know, maybe shouldn't have done that. But because she cannot get out of the house, Evelyn does the only thing she does is she goes and she gets out of the bathtub to give birth to this baby. Because, like, where else is she supposed to go?
Right.
And of course, we hear she sees the other alien enter the house, and Evelyn is, you know, starting. There's blood dripping into the drain. And just as she's about to scream, Allison, outside in the sky, we hear fireworks exploding. So as okay. she screams, a louder sound covers it up. Obviously, this is something that Lee developed.
Yes.
Where we could create this cacophony. It also draws the aliens out of the house.
Yes.
So fortunately, she's giving birth at least with some sort of cover.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan sees the fireworks from the bridge, and she starts to run home, but also she's a little distance away. And Lee grabs a shotgun and makes his way into the house, trying to find his wife.
And can they be killed?
Yes, they can, okay. and we will, in fact, find out how. Okay. But the good okay. question, like, yeah, if they can't be by human means, then, like, give it up.
Give it
like,
up.
Then I can't.
You
do
win.
This.
You win, aliens.
Yeah. Allison, he finds a bathtub. It is full of blood, but it is empty. So Lee collapses, obviously assuming his wife and unborn child got eaten by aliens.
Yeah.
Luckily, he turns. And there's sort of a separate shower with a glass door, like a vertical door. Mm-hmm. And he sees a bloody hand slap against the door. Evelyn is alive and hiding in the shower. And so is the baby.
Oh, my God.
And this is where we're playing pretty fast and loose because, like, this baby would be crying.
Yeah. Right.
But luckily, it's not their first baby. Then I think they would be dead, you know, dead yes. people walking. But luckily she's alive, the baby's alive, and Marcus tries to walk back through the cornfield towards the house, only for the aliens to hear him and start chasing him through the cornfield.
No.
So now poor Marcus is being terrorized by the aliens, while Lee is carrying Evelyn and the baby, who's is cooing, making a little sound, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
He gets them down into the basement in their living quarters and, like, shuts the door right as an alien appears outside the barn. They put the baby in its wooden box and they put its little oxygen mask on.
Oh, tiny little oxygen mask.
I know. And so it is soundproof, so they put the top on. So the idea is like the baby will survive if we have to do this temporarily,
yes. Right? Right.
But I'm like, God, that's exhausting. And how long do the oxygen tanks, like, it's, right, we're going to use a lot of oxygen.
Yeah, especially if it's crying.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Reagan is back to the cornfield. Reagan doesn't know about anything, right? She doesn't know what, she sees the lights. She knows something bad is happening. Is it her mom? We don't know. She gets into the cornfield, and we don't see one of the, she does not see that the alien, one of the aliens has stepped into the corn behind her and is following her, stalking her. But then when it gets close enough, the feedback from her hearing aid, which is on but not working, irritates it so much it drives it away. Obviously, this will come into play later.
Yes, because I was like, oh, I wonder if like a literal dog whistle,
yes,
would do the kind of same thing where it's like, oh, a frequency that is off-putting.
Yeah, and I think that's a good question. Like, would other extremely piercing sounds, because this is clearly, it's reacting to this, like the whine of feedback from her hearing aid that she's also reacting to. But for the alien, it's so excruciating because of its intensely sensitive hearing. But then she doesn't even see that the alien's there, fortunately, and because it's driven away. Evelyn, you know, sort of passes out after giving birth and then wakes up and is like, he's like, don't worry, we're safe, the baby's safe. And she goes, oh, great. Oh, my God, where are the other kids? Like, it's just like, I'm glad that worked out. Where the fuck are
our
children?
Yeah, on to the next crisis.
Yeah. And he's like, Marcus set out the rockets. He knows enough to stay. Basically, he set him off on the top of the silo, the corn silo. He's like, he's safe. Okay. And Reagan's very smart. I'm sure she's hiding and we'll find her. So don't worry. But, of course, Evelyn also blames herself for Beau's death. So she starts crying.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, the thing that haunts me is like, my hands were free. Like, I had a backpack with all of our stuff from the pharmacy, but I could have been carrying him. And part of me is like, well, you could have made him not last. That's what I would have said. But you can't say that at that moment.
Right.
And she says to Lee, you have to promise me no matter what, you have to protect them. And he says, yes, I absolutely will, obviously. Meanwhile, in the cornfield, Reagan finds Marcus's flashlight that he dropped. And when she reaches for it, he's hiding there and he grabs her hand and they hug. Like, okay, so at least we're alive together.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Lee comes back out of the living quarters to go find the kids. Not seeing that the aliens have broken a water pipe, fucking doing what they do, clamoring around with their big stupid arms. And that slowly the water is flooding the barn. And it's, of course, only a matter of time before it starts to go into their underground living quarters.
Oh, God.
And at this point, Allison, I have to ask, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Well, there is a sequel, right?
There is, yes.
Yeah. And I think they're both in it, aren't they?
Well, but who's to say in what capacity?
That's true. It could
maybe it's
be
a, maybe a flashback, a flash forward.
Okay. Then
his own twin.
I'm gonna guess that Lee dies, and what's Emily? And Emily Blunt lives, and the kids all live.
Great. Okay. Ahem.
My cat Rachel is the silliest cat I know. One time, she played inside a paper bag for 3 hours. What a mystery. But I'm glad her health isn't. Thanks to the color-changing litter from Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter. This premium color-changing litter has pH-activated crystals that can help me detect potential illness early. That makes it easy for me to stay on top of her health and well-being. I may not understand all of Rachel's silly quirks, but I can keep up with the important things. Find Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
So Marcus and Reagan wisely are like, if we can't make it back to the house because there's aliens in the cornfield, let's go to the top of the corn silo because that's closer. We'll build a fire. Dad will see it. He'll know what's going on. Yeah. I was like, that's smart. Good idea. Lee goes into his workshop and he can see his security cameras. And you can see that they're at the corn silo. So in my mind, actually, if everything stopped here, we'd be totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, the kids would have to stay there all night, and that would suck. But eventually, the aliens would wander away.
Yeah. They'd go find some other noise.
Yeah. So Mark is assigned to Reagan, like, let's just stay here. He'll come and get us. And she says no. She wants to leave and go back to the house. And I will say, I'll be honest, I'm on my last nerve with this girl. But I think that's just being a tween, where it's like, girl, you are safe. Don't do this. Just because you're mad at your dad or you think your dad doesn't love you in this moment, let's think about how not to get eaten by an alien, you know? Meanwhile, Evelyn wakes up in the fucking basement where they live, and it is filling with water, Allison. So much water that the baby's box is now floating. She goes... Also, she just gave birth. Also, she had a nail in her foot.
Yeah, she's like been
through
it.
She had a day. Yeah, and so that's a day, all right. She stands up in like probably at this point 2 feet of water.
Oh my God.
And has to walk through this field. So then I'm like tetanus for sure.
Oh, I mean, no question.
She walks over to the baby box, and right behind it, out of the water, emerges one of the aliens.
What? They swim?
They swim. And then you see it go back in, and it's like this very seamless dive underneath as if it's used to swimming, which I hated.
I don't like that. That's not okay.
So obviously, Evelyn's like, okay, great. She picks up her baby. Luckily, the baby's not crying. And similar to like we saw at the waterfall, she's able to take her baby and sort of step behind the like wall, thin wall of water coming down.
Okay.
So there's at least a sound barrier between her and the alien, but seeing it go into the water, very unnerving.
And also, if it was close enough to touch you, would it know to eat you?
It's a great question, because in my mind, it's like it's already there. It could, like, there's no care considered to say the smell or I guess it can't see you because it was there.
Right.
I don't know, and it was there when she was asleep too. So it's like if you're asleep,
right.
I guess we're going to think if it can't hear you, it can't sense you in any way.
Okay. It's just, okay.
Yeah. So we'll say that.
That's like The Last of Us. That's like the closest I could get to this.
I would say like Jurassic Park, I guess. Because if you move, it can see you, but otherwise it can't tell you there, maybe. Meanwhile, up at the silo, Reagan says, we have to go. While Marcus is like, absolutely not. He will come for us. And Reagan signs back, he'll come for you. It's like, there are aliens. Give your father a break. He's doing the best he can.
I know. My
this
God.
This has been a bad day
parents.
For everybody. Yeah, like, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. You know, don't be mad at your dad and get eaten by aliens. But Marcus steps towards his sister to be like, don't do it. Don't leave. He steps on a panel at the top of the silo, and it flips open, and he falls into the corn and immediately starts sinking in the corn, which is one of my irrational fears. Have you ever heard about this?
People fall
into grain and corn all the time, and it acts like quicksand. It is an inescapable mistake.
You can't climb yourself to the top.
Exactly. And I think I could see myself doing it because it's something stupid. Oh, yes. It's called grain entrapment. Ooh.
Grain entrapment.
Grain entrapment.
Sounds like something they write about on Goop. Like, to stop eating bread.
Right. When they find you, your vagina smells amazing, but you are dead. Terrifying. So, of course, he falls into the corn. He immediately starts getting, drawn into the corn. Mm-hmm. Luckily, one of the panels that he stepped on also falls onto the corn. It almost hits him, but then at least he has sort of a Rose in the Titanic, platform, something to try to pull himself up onto, but he can't do it. Mm-hmm. So then Reagan jumps in, which I thought was stupid, but I understand. What are you going to do?
She's trying to help.
Exactly. So she jumps in, pushes the door over to him, and he's able to start climbing on, but then she starts to get sucked into the grain. Mm-hmm. And I said, now this is a scene in a movie. And he grabs her hand and has to haul her out. She's gasping, spitting out corn, probably inhaling dust like you've been doing.
In so much dust.
Allison, they successfully get on the door panel, and it seems like, okay. So again, like it's like water. So like we're on top of the door, so our dad will have to lower something down, but we will be okay.
Yes.
Allison, an alien, drops down into the corn.
No.
Luckily, the aliens also don't do great on corn. Because it's just like you still have weight. You know what I mean? So it's still slip-sliding around.
At least it's like an even playing field then.
Thank God. Right, exactly.
Not like the water where it's like, oh, I love this.
Right. If it had a preternatural corn balance, we would be in rough shape here. However, even better, the same thing happens with Reagan's hearing aid, again, the second time, where the feedback is so incredibly loud that the alien is driven so insane that it bursts horizontally through the metal wall of the silo.
Whoa.
Which also then gives them at least a way to get out and not have to, like, get sucked into the corn, right? Yep. Meanwhile, we see Evelyn has escaped the basement with her child.
Oh, good.
And is now in Lee's workshop, which, to its credit, is not filling with water, to look at the security cameras. So everything we're about to describe, Evelyn is watching her family go through in horror, right?
Oh, God.
Poor Lee is running all over this damn farm trying to find his kids because they keep moving around.
Right, and you can't be like, I'm over here.
Exactly. And finally, they're able to crawl the silo because there is a ladder affixed to the side of the silo. So through the alien hole, they're able to get to the ladder and come down, basically. And they find their father on the sand path through the cornfield, and they all hug. But of course, an alien is coming. And he sends them to hide in this abandoned truck. Marcus hides in the cab, and Reagan slides underneath it because there's not enough time. Mm-hmm. While their dad picks up an axe from a cache of farm implements. And I was like, is he going to axe this alien to death? But unfortunately, we won't know, because when he looks up, the alien is perched on top of the shed. And he swings the axe at the alien, but it's too late. The alien takes one swipe at him and sends him flying to the ground, losing his weapon.
No.
Allison, just now, we see Reagan's hearing aid go off again, but she has not made the connection, so she just shuts it off. And when she shuts it off, she sees the alien react to it and attack the truck. And so it's in that moment that she starts to put together, like, oh, this was actually keeping them away.
Away.
But unfortunately now, but she, in the moment, she, the aliens attack the truck. She has to get into the cab. She's trying to protect Marcus. Lee is not dead. So he's able to get up and he picks up his axe, and he is seeing an alien attack both of his children in the cab of this truck. And he makes eye contact with Reagan and he signs to her, I love you. I have always loved you. And then to distract the aliens, Lee screams to draw the aliens to him.
I'm going to cry.
It was so great, but then I will say John Krasinski's scream is very funny, because that's a really hard scream to nail, and if I was him, I would have picked something a little more.
A comedy guy at the end of the day.
It literally sounds like Ray Romano. He's like, and I was like, I would have hired a, like, you, like, because then it's like the moment of, like, oh, everything, my child has died. Like,
yes.
Living
just
this
hire
way.
Hire a professional scream and dub it.
You know, I think, yeah, because I think John Grinson made a lot of great decisions in this, but that scream was hilarious.
Yeah, he's, yeah, yeah. I remember there was, like, an office a scene where, like, Pam's like, you've literally never yelled. He's like, I yell all the time. And she's like, you exclaim. Like, like, oh, the car's over here. Like, it's very
that's really funny. Now the alien is distracted by eating their father. Marcus pulls the brake, and he and Reagan roll down the hill towards the farm to meet their mother, who runs out to hug them. And she's got the shotgun, too.
Okay.
Unfortunately, while they've reunited with their mother, the aliens are still there, and they hear the aliens screeching. And they run back over the house into Lee's electronic room. Mm-hmm. And we see Evelyn specifically point out the nail, because obviously every time we go up and down the stairs, we're like, tell her about the nail.
The nail.
Evelyn hides Marcus and sort of grabs the baby. She had him in a laundry basket carrying him around, which does seem kind of fun.
Yeah.
Cute. And Reagan goes over to her dad's equipment and finally takes it all in. Again, she being like... his protege, he's, you know, pouring himself into her, the disruption of the alien. She now that she's allowed to see his work, because he didn't allow her down there, she's smart. She's able to put together what's going on. And also she had the experience with the hearing aid.
Yes.
And she sees that he had all these different hearing aids that ostensibly he, like, found in town or was trying to fix, that he was trying to do all this work for her, even when they were sort of estranged. You know, he had, like, an anatomy, like, a book of the ear and, like, how to fix electronics. So he was really trying, and that meant a lot to her.
Yeah.
And Evelyn comes over to her, and Reagan shows her all the hearing aids. And Evelyn, they didn't translate this, but, like, Evelyn taps her head. And I didn't look it up, but I assume it means I know. Like, yes, your father loved you. Yeah. Allison, the aliens have arrived.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, what a touching moment. The aliens are here to eat my entire family. Evelyn has the shotgun, and basically the alien corners them, one of the aliens, and we see its head, like, open, and we finally get this, like, reveal of, like, this dark gray flesh and, like, the iridescence of the ear, which I thought was an interesting design.
Yeah.
And as we watch, some of the feedback from one of the equipments bothers it, and we see the alien lash out and smash it. And finally, Reagan realizes, oh, my they hearing aid, like it this. Bothers them. Yes. And she looks at her dad's whiteboard again. We saw the beginning. It says, what is their weakness? And she looks at all these hearing aids, and she turns her hearing aid back on all the way up. And the feedback hits the alien. It's shaking, like sort of the petals of its head opens. Ugh. And then Reagan—
Your head petals are open. You know things are serious.
Exactly. And Reagan turns on her dad's microphone and then takes off her hearing aid and plays the feedback into it. And the alien is so struck by it that it's vulnerable, and Evelyn shoots it in the fucking head when its head is open, killing it.
Great.
They did it. Unfortunately, this does mean, because of the extremely loud sound, yes, the amplified feedback,
here come the other
two. The other two aliens are running towards them, but luckily they know how to handle them. And Evelyn Reagan turns to her mother, and Reagan turns up the microphone to like 11 to this deafening feedback, and Evelyn racks another shell into the shotgun. The Quiet Place.
Oh, it ends right there?
It ends right there, my friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that they could have the sequel, Quiet Place 2, Too Quiet, Too Place.
Exactly. And I believe there's a third one, might be a third one.
I think there's one forthcoming. Because when I was looking for the trailers, one of them was like a Quiet Place 2024. And so I guess there might be a third in the world.
And I will say, I did not love this movie, but I liked it more on rewatch. Because the thing is, to me, this is not a horror movie.
Yeah, this is a thriller with aliens.
Science fiction, post-apocalyptic thriller.
Yeah.
And that's not to say there aren't horrifying moments, but that it is not scary.
Yeah, like, it's not structured.
It's thrilling. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's fine. And watching it, that it's almost the same as like if there were a bunch of tigers that were loose.
Yes.
Like, that's not scary, but it is unnerving and thrilling.
Yeah.
You know, and could be really interesting. So I feel like watching that with that in mind versus watching it with a horror mind.
Yes.
Where I was like, this isn't scary. It's like, no, that's it is what it is.
Compelling.
And people like it. And yes, exactly. And watching it again, I do appreciate all the acting in it. And I thought it was really great.
Yes.
What are some fatal mistakes you think people have made in A Quiet Place, Allison?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, it feels like the biggest one was not tossing those batteries.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
Because
big time.
If he had survived, there probably wouldn't have been another baby and her being pregnant and all of the stuff that came along with that.
Yeah.
But sure, I mean, aside from that, it seems like they did literally all the stuff you could ever.
They were doing the best they could with what they got.
My God, you don't have a lot of options. And they were super clever and ahead of the game on so much stuff that, yeah, it feels like the not chucking the batteries from the spaceship is probably the worst mistake anybody in this movie made.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a good lesson in, like, you know, hey, we're all going to have to be more in tune with our emotions, because a lot of horrible things are going to be happening once we reach the climate apocalypse. I mean, we're already there. It's like being able to have conversations and talk about emotions is actually going to be the only way we could survive as a society. Yes. So if he was able to have some resources to speak about how he blamed his daughter, even if it was irrational, that would have allowed him to sort of be passing on the information to her, which he obviously understood, like, she was the child that could carry on his legacy. And only by preventing her, keeping her from it out of a sense of resentment, it in fact only killed him. And then she was able to sort of take over when she was allowed to access the information of the father. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what feminism is about?
It really is.
If we all had the information of the father and we could all help each other and we don't have to do any of the stuff that we're doing now?
Yeah.
A Quiet Place, a feminist film, if there ever was one. But we'll have to do the other ones.
Yeah, we should.
All right, hell yeah.
And spooky scale?
Where would you put A Quiet Place on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think this is a 3. Like, I put myself in this scenario, very scary. Like, the plot of this is terrorizing. But, yeah, it does have more of a thriller, a sci-fi vibe than necessarily, you know, when I think about, like, The Babadook and Candyman, you know, like stuff like that, where I'm like, oh, I'm genuinely scared. Like, this is like more just like, I'm holding my breath.
Yes. and thrilling. And I think a great, like, to see in theaters is really fun. And sure. I do want to see the other ones.
Yeah, we'll have to do them.
Yeah. Wait, is there a third one? Or am I making that up?
I know there's a second. And again, I feel like there's like an announcement about a third one, but maybe I'm
confused. Yes, yeah, yeah. The third one's coming out in June. So, yeah. Okay, so we'll have 2024 now in June.
Maybe we'll do a live show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll do the second one in between now and then, so everyone will be caught up.
All right. Well, we got a plan.
Awesome.
What about you? Well, thank you. Scale.
Spooky scale. Again, not spooky. I'm going to say a 2. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like when we first see the aliens, I like the alien design. I do think that it's creepy. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's to me, it's more of it's Spielberg, you know? It's more of a family adventure working together, which I love, but I wouldn't call it horror personally. Yeah. But if it horrified you, then I think that's great. But yeah, that's where I'm at on it.
Sense.
I wanted to say, I forgot to write this down, but I believe one of the magazine headlines that Lee has about the aliens, it says they came on a meteor, or they came on a meteorite.
Uh-huh.
And I think that I like that because they're like, people are going to wonder how they got here. Just say they came out of a meteor.
Right.
And that is enough. I'm like, that's all I need to know.
That's all you
tell
me. Know. Yeah.
They obviously don't have ships. Like, they're not smart. They're like a creature
it's
that
like
was
an invasive
sort of
species, not like a colonialism.
Yeah. Like, it's like how anacondas got into the Everglades, where it's like they can't help that they're good at being in the Everglades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're great at being snakes.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this, everybody.
Yes.
Shout out to Kevin Bacon and his bringing people together across time and space,
truly,
as always.
And
until next time,
please
keep it spooky.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolade.
My cat Rachel is the silliest cat I know. One time, she played inside a paper bag for 3 hours. What a mystery. But I'm glad her health isn't. Thanks to the color-changing litter from Fresh Step Crystals Health Monitoring Litter. This premium color-changing litter has pH-activated crystals that can help me detect potential illness early. That makes it easy for me to stay on top of her health and well-being. I may not understand all of Rachel's silly quirks, but I can keep up with the important things. Find Fresh Step Crystals Health Monitoring Litter at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company.